This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Hebrews chapter 12. Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, for this privilege and this opportunity to share the good news of your gospel with your people. And Father, as we pray that you would touch in every heart and every mind, God, that they might be receptive to your word. And God, that we'll be stronger and better after we will have received your word with thanksgiving. We thank you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I want to talk today about my New Year's resolution for 2020. Amen. My New Year's resolution for 2020. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. There you will find these words. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I was reading an article the other day that was talking about New Year's resolutions. And as a matter of fact, it listed the top five New Year's resolutions. Number five, the fifth most popular resolution was folk who said, we're going to stop smoking. Amen. And some of you know you need to stop smoking. Amen. Number four, make more money. That was the fourth most popular New Year's resolution, resolved to make more money. Amen. And then number three was improve relationships. There were husbands who said that we're going to get along better with our wives. And there were wives who said we're going to get along better with our husbands. We're going to improve our marital relationships. And then some even talked about relationships, parents with children and children with parents. But the third most popular resolution was to improve upon relationships. And then the second most popular resolution was exercise more. Amen. We're going to go to the gym more. We're going to, some of y'all know you got treadmills at home, and you ain't been on that treadmill. As a matter of fact, you got so much stuff piled on it that you couldn't get on it if you wanted to. It's become a closet of sorts. Amen. And can anybody guess what the number one resolution is? The number one most popular resolution, I think y'all know, amen. I'm going to lose weight. But do you know that what I discovered that all of these resolutions reveal one thing, and that is that all of us have a desire to do better. Somebody said the, the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. And what these resolutions tell us is that most of us are aware of the reality that there are some areas in our lives that we can what? Do better. We can do better. We want to improve on our past performance. We want to gain control of an area of our lives where we have failed or fallen short. And our thinking is this. Our thinking is that if I can get these one or two areas of my life under control, I will be much happier. Or if I could improve in this area or that area, I would become a better person. But can I tell you what the problem is? The problem is, amen, the problem with New Year's resolutions is that the greatest percentage of us rarely follow through on them. We start out with great enthusiasm, but soon our resolve to keep our resolutions start to wane under the pressure of time, responsibilities, and our own lack of willpower. And as is the case so often, this year's New Year's resolutions will wind up becoming what? Next year's New Year's resolutions. If you've made resolutions for this new year, I wish you all the best. I pray that you'll have success. But this morning, I'm not here to challenge you to lose weight. I'm not here to challenge you to start exercising, because some of y'all do need to lose some weight, and some of you need to start exercising. You can do better. Amen. Amen. I want to challenge you, and I'm talking to myself. Amen. That was supposed to be funny. Some of y'all look, I know he ain't talking about, I'm talking to me. Amen. All right. You look good. You fine. Amen. I'm the one, all right? But what I want to do this morning, I want to challenge all of us not to lose weight, not to exercise. I want to challenge us to raise the bar in our spiritual lives. In sports, they call it stepping up your game. Or they call it elevating your game. That's what I want to challenge all of us to do in 2020. I want to challenge us to raise the bar, to step up our game in our spiritual lives. And I need to tell you why. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, I need to tell you why he said that. He said that because I don't care how fit you are physically. You can have a six-pack, or like me, a 9 or 12-pack. You can be fine as wine and all of that in your physical body. But I don't care how physically fit you are, these bodies are going to die. Do I need to say that again? I don't care how fit you are, and I'm not knocking it. We ought to do better as it relates to our physical health, but I need to remind you that no matter how fit you get physically, this body is going to die. Do I have a witness here today? But your spirit man will live on for eternity. And I really wish that there was some scale that could determine how much we weigh in our spirit man. I wish there were some MRI or some CAT scan that could really take a good look at how our spirit man looks. And I think that if that was something that was possible, many of us would be malnourished as it relates to our spirit man. Some of us would be overweight as it relates to our spirit man. Some of us would be diseased as it relates to our spirit man. So here is a challenge. Step up your game spiritually. In our text, the Hebrew writer is reminding you and I that we are like marathon runners in a long race from here to eternity. We've now come to milepost 2020. On our long and arduous journey, none of us knows what great opportunities lie before us in 2020. None of us knows what trials or troubles or sorrows lie ahead of us in 2020. And that's why we've got to do what the Bible says. We've got to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding and all our ways. We've got to acknowledge him. And are there any witnesses who know that God will direct your path? I believe that's why some folk are just wandering around aimlessly, just lost, just oblivious, just confused, because they don't have direction. And the reason they don't have direction is because they're not relying upon God's GPS to get them where he wants them to be. My brothers and sisters, we've got to make up in our minds that in 2020, I want to fulfill the purpose and the will of God for my life. So many folk have wasted time trying to please other people. So many people have wasted their lives away trying to impress somebody else. I'm 54 now, and I finally made up in my mind that I don't care what other folks say about me or think about me. If I can live a life that's pleasing to God, I'm not going to worry about the rest. Is there anybody here that has walked with God long enough to know that if you can please him, let your haters hate, but I'm going to live my life for God. Let the naysayers and the prognosticators talk about you, talk about what you can't do and what you're not capable of doing. But if I trust in God, come on, where are my folk who trust him? If I trust in God, he will direct my path. In our text, we find that there are three things that we've got to do if we're going to raise the bar in our spiritual life in 2020. Three things, and I'll be done. Three things we need to do. Three things. Number one is in verse 1, part A. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us or besets us. Now, right there, I need to give you a brief lesson on the difference between a weight and a sin. Because there are some folk out preaching and teaching that everything is a sin. But I need you to know, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus died to give us a liberty that unless you understand grace, you won't appreciate it. See, I know some of you need rules and regulations in order to feel like you're pleasing God, but can I tell you, I don't need a set of rules or regulations to know how to please God. Can I tell you why? I don't need that because I've got the lawgiver living inside of me. I've got the Holy Ghost, and is there anybody here who knows that the Holy Ghost will stop you cold in your tracks and tell you don't say that, tell you don't go there? Tell you don't do that. So I don't need a bunch of rules and regulations to tell me what I can and cannot do. I thank God for liberty that was attained for me at Calvary. I guess that's why I'm so crazy sometimes. Amen. Most of y'all know, if you follow me on Facebook, and some folks say he put everything on Facebook, and that's all right, amen. But while I was on vacation for New Year's, I was out in California, and my brother Glenn there, he texted me, said, people want to know where's the watch night service going to be. Where's the watch night service? And I was out on Santa Monica Beach. I said, my watch night service is going to be out here on Santa Monica Beach. Now, I don't know where y'all going to be watching from, but I'm going to be watching from the beach. And, you know, now some folk might frown on that and say, now that's not pastoral. A pastor shouldn't be saying that, but y'all need to lighten up. Come on, nudge your neighbor and say, loosen up a little bit. You have liberty in Christ. Some of y'all need to laugh. So, oh, my God, come on. Is there anybody here who knows that the joy of the Lord is your strength? When you know that you're saved, when you know that you've been bought with the price the blood of Jesus did for you, what you couldn't do for yourself, you'll learn to laugh sometime. When folk lying on you and talking about you, you'll learn to laugh at some stuff folks say, some stuff folk think. Give God praise in this place. So everything is not a sin. Tell your neighbor, some stuff is just a weight. It don't quite live up to the sin category, but there are some things, even though it's not a sin, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we will admit that it's hindering me from really living out the life of Christ. That there are some things, even though it ain't a sin, there are some things that are holding me back from really giving God my best and giving him my all. Amen. It ain't a sin. It ain't gonna send you to hell, but there are some things we would do better to let go of. The army of Alexander the Great was advancing on Persia. And some of you will remember, if you saw the movie 300, you'll remember King Xerxes of Persia, this tall giant of a man. And you remember that. And historians say that when they got ready to fight the Persians, Alexander the Great, it appeared that his troops were going to be defeated. Alexander's army had taken so much plunder from their previous military campaigns that they had become weighted down and they were losing their effectiveness in battle, because it was the rule at that time that when you fought a nation, if you won the fight, you were able to take all of their gold, you were able to take all of their jewelry, you were able to take all of their stuff. And because Alexander the Great's army was so successful, they were winning all the time. And so they had all this stuff they had picked up along the way. And Alexander the Great said, look, this is what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to take all that stuff you've picked up along the way, put it in a pile, and burn it up, because it's slowing us down. And the record is that many of his soldiers were angry because they had to get rid of this stuff that they had accumulated, but they soon realized the wisdom of Alexander's order. As a matter of fact, one of his soldiers wrote later that it was as if wings had been given to us and we walked lightly again. See, sometimes, amen, life has a way of giving you stuff that you really don't need. You know, folk will tell you, you need to get this, and you need to be in this organization, and you need to get a membership over here, and you need to do this, and you need to do that. And by the time you get through listening to everything that everybody thinks you ought to be a part of and everything you ought to, you're so weighted down that you can do no great work for God. I know this is not going to be popular, and some of you are not going to like it, but thank God for all of your affiliations and your organizational associations. But some of that stuff you need to let go of so you can do a work for God. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here who is so determined? Because watch this. When we get to heaven, the Bible says that when we get to heaven, we will get in heaven a reward for what we've done here. And I need to remind one or two believers that those rewards that we get in heaven, watch this, forever, will not be based upon what clubs you were a member of. They will not be based upon how many plaques are on your wall. They will not be based upon how many certificates you have. They will not be based upon how many degrees you have behind your name that subdue the level of ignorance you've attained. But the reward we get in heaven forever will be based upon what we've done for the kingdom. And I need to tell you that all church work ain't the work of the church. Do I have any witnesses here today? So if you're going to live a spiritual and successful life for the Lord in 2020, the first thing you've got to do, you've got to lay aside those things that weigh you down. We need to lay aside, watch this, past sins. Over the course of our lifetime, our sins have been so many. I heard a preacher say about Paul that, you know, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. They said that there's one error that Paul has in his writing, and that error is this. Paul said that he was the chiefest among sinners. And I heard a preacher say, Paul, you wrong there. I'm the chiefest among sinners. I got you beat when it comes to sin. Amen. But can I tell you that if you're going to step up your game spiritually, one of the things you've got to lay aside past sins, because the devil will continuously beat you up because of some sin in your past. Is there anybody here that can say things I used to do? No, I didn't say I don't do anymore. things I used to do, I don't do as much. Now, that may be your testimony. You don't do it anymore, but amen. Please be patient with me. God ain't through with me yet. I can say things I used to do, I don't do as much. Come on, don't y'all get all super spiritual on me now. But with the help of God and the aid of the Holy Spirit, I'm trusting God that a day is going to come that I will be able to say things I used to do, I don't do anymore. Give God praise in this place. If you're going to step up your spiritual game, you've got to lay aside past sins. It's useless for us to brood over past sins. God buried those sins in the grave of Christ. So as we begin this new year, it's time for us to go and sin no more. Something else we need to lay aside. We need to lay aside negative emotions. Can I ask you a question? Are you nursing a grudge towards someone over something that happened 10 or 15 years ago? Y'all heard of those deathbed confessionals where folk get sick and they about to die and they tell the family, call so-and-so and tell them to come over here so I can apologize. Amen. Don't wait till your deathbed to get over some grudges you still. Can I tell you something? Grudges will hinder your worship. That's why some of y'all can't praise God. It's hard to praise a holy God and you mad at his creation. It's hard to worship God in spirit and in truth when the truth is somebody on your pew you can't stand. It's hard to honor God, amen, even in your giving. The Bible, remember that lesson Jesus told? He said, before you give your offering, you need to go get that relationship right with the person you have ought against. If you're going to step up your spiritual game, you've got to let go of past sins, but you've also got to get rid of negative emotions. They're like poison to a believer. Then there's something else you need to lay aside. You need to lay aside all pride over past achievements. Y'all know we take pride, amen, in our past accomplishments. We take pride in our past successes. But if we're not careful, our pride over our past can hinder us from reaching for new goals and new challenges. Thank the Lord for what he's helped you to accomplish in the past. Ask God to open new doors of opportunity to serve him in even greater ways in 2020. Some of y'all still showing your fifth grade report card. Still showing that certificate with the little star, the gold star on it. Amen. Baby, it's time to move on to something else. Thank God you were successful last year, but is there anybody here crazy enough to believe that as successful as you were in 2019, the God you serve is able to give you greater success in 2020? Don't just hang on to pride over past achievements. Thank God for it and move on to the next level. So the first thing we've got to do is lay aside the weight. But here's the second thing we've got to do. We've got to run this race with endurance. Y'all, our English language doesn't fully convey the force of this admonition in the original Greek. The Hebrew writer is literally saying, keep on enduring. Keep on persevering. Keep on running. Keep on fighting. Don't ever give up. But sadly, in the Christian life, that's exactly what a lot of people do. They give up. There are many who start the race, but only a few who finish. There are many who are faithful for a time, but only a few who are faithful unto death. Like 2019 and 2018 and 2017, amen, it had its share of good days and bad days. There's not a one of us here this morning who will go through this year without facing some trials and troubles and heartaches and sorrows and tears. But while we have no knowledge or control over what's going to happen in 2020, we do have control over how we will respond to the trials, how we will respond to the challenges. We can either give up and quit, or we can endure and keep on running the race. Let me tell you, that requires a mindset. You've got to make up in your mind that even before trouble comes, even before anything bad happens, and it may not happen, but if it does, you have to already have established a mindset that come what will, come what may, I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Let friends walk out on me. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Let my money get funny. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Let my health decline. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Let the bottom drop out. I'm going to hold to God's unchanging hand. Is there anybody here who's already made up in your mind that whatever may come, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to hold to his hand. I'm not going to let go. And I believe that by faith, that no matter how bad it gets, no matter how hard it gets, if I have my hand in God's hand, I will make it. I will make it. I'm going to make it. Come on. Let me get my witnesses who have made up in their minds that you're not going to let go. You're not going to give in. You're not going to quit. You will trust in God. Give him praise in this place. Jesus is our example. As he went to an old rugged cross, our Lord and Savior, they drove nails in his hands, nails in his feet, lifted him up on that cross, pierced him in his side, laughed at him, mocked him, spat upon him. And you Bible readers know that he could have called the host of angels to rescue him. He could have come down, but he endured the suffering of the cross because he knew that on the other side of the suffering was victory. And I don't know how you feel about it this morning, but I've got to say that I'm thankful. And the reason I will be able to step up my spiritual game, and this is the last point, is because I will stay focused on Jesus. That's what he says in verse 2. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and now he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Hebrew writer is reminding us in these verses that one of the most important things you and I can do in 2020, as well as the rest of our life's journey, is to stay focused on Jesus. It's sort of like billboards along the interstate. There are many things in this world to distract us and grab our attention. That's why we must constantly stay on God and not allow the pleasures and treasures of this world to take our focus off of Jesus. The Hebrew writer points us to Jesus as the supreme example of how to run life's race and finish it victoriously. How did Jesus endure the terrible beatings? How did Jesus endure the false accusations? How did Jesus endure the injustice